This morning we have Jesus on a boat. Lots of people have come to hear him preach. Now in other stories, the press of the crowd causes Jesus to get some distance, right? Safe distance, to create some boundaries. Maybe he's doing that, but also commentators think that part of this was a rhetoric device because the minor valley that the lake was around was a natural amphitheater. And by removing himself to the center of the lake, his voice could be heard, cast out amongst the crowd. Now, if we were to take this story in the context of the chapters 12 and the end of 13, the fact that there were so many gathered around Jesus would be pretty amazing. The reason being, Jesus in chapter 12 has begun to face real opposition. The religious leaders, those in power, have begun to make plans that Jesus needs to go away, perhaps even to kill him. His message has been rejected by the powers that be. Well, on the other side of this, at the end of chapter 13, and we don't hear this in our lectionary, but Jesus goes to his hometown and he's rejected even there by his family and his friends. Decidedly not the powers that be, but the powers powerful enough to reject his message and to push him out. So Jesus has these crowds. It's amazing that he's got people listening to what he's saying. He gets on a boat, goes out a bit so his voice can be heard, and he begins to teach the parables. The parables are stories, but they're not just stories. They're stories that Jesus told that people were intended to unpack. There were layers of meaning. The layers would reveal themselves in faithful listening over the course of trying to understand that. Now, we'll hear several parables in a row over these next couple Sundays, and we'll attend to a little bit more of how parables aren't just stories in the weeks to come. But today we have a very familiar one, and also we have one of the very few parables that Jesus explains in a lot of detail. So a sower went out to sow, right? The first century Palestinians, if they weren't fishermen, a lot of them would be nodding their heads because they were farmers. So they get this, it's a familiar setting. And the sower sowing seed, flinging the seed. And the seed falls on four types of ground. Again, a very familiar parable to many of us. The first soil it fell on was what? The hard-packed path. And it's there. It lays on the surface. It doesn't sink into the dirt. And along come the birds. Birds picking at the seed. I was just reading the other day about a wildflower bed, and they said, you know, don't be afraid to even get in there and walk around on the seed and tamp it down and then put a net to protect from the birds. Jesus says, this is those who receive the word, but only briefly because the devil comes and plucks it from them. This is perhaps difficult for our postmodern ears to hear. I always recall the words of C.S. Lewis years ago said, there's two dangers that Christians have when it comes to understanding the devil. The first, of course, we're ultimately aware of is, you know, you take an unhealthy interest in the things of the devil. You give the devil too much attention. You give the devil that power in your life. But he said, just as dangerous as the other end of the spectrum, which is to ignore the devil, or worse, to pretend that the devil doesn't exist. Again, this might be challenging for us. Many of us, of course, don't think of a devil with the, you know, the horns and the pitchfork and the pointed tail. But I think we would agree there is something, someone, that represents, that embodies evil in our world. Jesus says, those who are of the hard packed earth do not receive the word, and they're easy prey to this force of evil. So the sower's flinging seed, and the seed falls on the second type of soil as well. And this is what? This is the rocky ground, right? Ground with rocks. This is the one that hears the word, receives it with joy, and then gives up after a while. Goes on to other things. And because the seed didn't get root, the plants wither and die. Now, as I have heard this over the years, I often have thought, well, this is, you know, a warning against distraction. And that's good advice. Surely there are other things that distract us. There are those things that we perhaps rather do than attending to the Word of God, whether it be coming on a Sunday morning or personal or group Bible study. But notice Jesus talks about a specific kind of distraction. It's a distraction of the weight and the burden of this world. The brokenness, the cares, the worries, the trouble, the persecution. I was thinking this past week of a writing of Eugene Peterson. Some of us know him as the translator that wrote the Message Bible, but he wrote a lot more than that. And he recounts being shocked one Sunday early in his ministry as a high-powered executive was leaving the sanctuary, shaking the pastor's hand in the greeting line, and the executive said, well, that was wonderful, but now it's time to go back in the real world, isn't it? And Peterson recalls feeling this sense of, he's not taking this seriously. To him, this is the distraction. This is something that he does to the side. I think that is a good word for us. You know, do we take what we do here on a Sunday morning seriously? Do we take our life of faith seriously? That is to say, do we value the Word of God to such an extent that we truly believe and trust that it has something actually to say to the cares and the burdens and the worries of our outside life? Peterson goes on to say, if this executive only knew what I believed, he'd fire me. For I believe that the kingdom of God is coming here on earth, and the kingdom of God is here to undermine all other principalities, dominions, old boy clubs, and the kingdom of self. That's as serious and as real as it gets. So we're sowing seed. He sows some seed, throws some seed on the thorny ground. I love the vivid imagery of this, where the thorns choke the plants that are trying to grow. When I reflect upon this one, I think so much, that's not really the soil's fault, but it's the company that the soil's keeping. Right? And there's other plants in the neighborhood that are trying to choke it out, the thorns. What do we make of that? Well, again, what kind of company do we keep? Now, Jesus again and again models that we are to be inclusive. We are to welcome everyone. We are to reach out to the poor and the suffering, those who need to hear, especially perhaps, the word of love from God. But Jesus was also one that, as we said in the beginning, right, with the boat, drew boundaries. There are times when Jesus went off by himself to pray, where the burden of caring for the others was too much, and he needed to recharge his batteries or refill his well, that he had something to give. When I think about thorny ground, with thorny bushes amongst the soil that's trying to grow good fruit. Years ago, I became aware of this reaction that I had sometimes with meeting people or spending time with people. So, this might be a shock to you, but I'm actually an introvert. I recharge my batteries by being off by myself, right? Sunday mornings exhaust me. Not that you're exhausting, I don't mean that. Especially what I'm going to say next. But years ago, I realized, you know, there are some people I walk away from and I'm exhausted. Oh, just to spend time with them. They sap and they leech and oh. But then there's other people I walk away from with a spring in my step I might not have even had before I was meeting with them. They give off energy. It's good to spend time with them. It's a time of building up. A time of mutual understanding and compassion. So again, I'm not saying avoid at all costs people who sap your energy, for they too are hurting and broken and need to hear the word of God. But for our own self-preservation, be attentive to who we're hanging around. And hang around people that give you energy, that feed into your passions. People of faith who will encourage you for the hard walk of discipleship. Finally, there's the good part of the story, the good news, the good soil. The sower's flinging the seed. Some actually finds good soil. This is the seed that goes into the ground, is cared for and protected from those who might come and snatch it away. It's been tilled, perhaps, that there's no other weeds or thorns to choke it out, and it grows. And it not only grows, but it grows, in the words of Jesus, supernaturally. Now, to understand that, we need to know that the best that a ancient farmer could expect would be 7 to 10-fold. I mean, you had a really good, that was a bumper crop if you got 7 to 10-fold. That is 7 times what you planted, right? Here, Jesus is talking about 100, about 60. And even the lower number, 30, is miraculous. Such is the word of God. When it finds that good soil, when it reaches a heart that is open, it bears incredible results. It bears fruit for the kingdom. The words of love that fall into the soil are then grown and cast off, perhaps, to sow even more. 100, 60, 30, miraculous growth. A miraculous reaction to these words of God, this word of life. So what are we to do with this morning's gospel message? I think it's twofold. First is we listen. Right now he says hear a couple times, but the very end of telling the parable the first time, not the explanation, but the first time is let anyone with ears listen. Now, the parable is a story. It's a metaphor to some extent. And all stories and metaphors have their end. You got to go a little bit further, right? If we think about soil, it's passive. It just sits there and waits. Really, the parable, it's no fault of its own that the soil's hard-packed earth. It can't get up and move to someplace more comfortable. But Jesus ends telling the parable with an active verb. Listen. Right? Hearing's that's passive. Listening is active. It takes intent. It takes energy. It takes paying attention. And most times it takes, again, compassion. A care to hear and really understand what's being said. So, listen to the Word of God. Listen for the word of God. Listen not only on Sunday mornings when you hear the text read and you hear the sermon preached, but perhaps be attentive to your own Bible study. Study alone or with groups or get devotions. A couple of weeks ago, I used Ted Lasso as a Christ figure. Again, if you haven't seen it, we finished it, and it's great. But I remember your wife said, do you think about these things all the time? And perhaps it's being a side effect of being a preacher, but yeah, I pretty much do. I think being attentive is not just hearing the Word of God and Scripture and sermon, but it's also being attentive to the other stories around us and what they may say about the human condition as fallen, broken people in need of love and the one who gives us that love. And so, yeah, I can find a Christ figure in Ted Lasso. And it's not just me. I have a book on my shelf, The Gospel According to Napoleon Dynamite. If you watch that movie and get a Christ figure, that's pretty interesting. So we listen. But we also speak. I find it interesting in this rather lengthy explanation of the parable that Jesus gives. He identifies what the word is. He identifies the different types of soils, but he doesn't seem to identify the sower. And I think we can understand, of course, the sower as God, slinging the words of love and mercy and forgiveness, or as Jesus as the very word of God coming to the earth. We remember the previous discourse of Jesus in Matthew. It was all about sending the disciples out into the world, a world that needs to hear the good news of the kingdom. And so it falls on us to speak those words of love to a world in desperate need. And we understand that our word is going to fall on deaf ears, uncaring ears. Ears that have so many other messages going on, it's just going to drown it out like so much white noise. But we do not give up. This begins with Jesus talking about the kingdom, the explanation anyway. The kingdom of God is coming. We are invited to be a part of that, bringing it into this world. We can't get discouraged. And whether or not everybody's listening to what we're saying, we just sow. We continue to speak and to live the word of God that others may hear that good news. So we listen and we speak. Perhaps it's an old adage, we are blessed with the word of God to be a blessing for others by sharing the word. One final note, and I'll end here. Perhaps you've heard this before in sermons or your study of this parable, but there is another, oh my gosh, moment, another amazing part of this story. And that's how the sower treats the seed. In the ancient world, as it is today, I mean, I've watched enough tractor supply advertisements to know, right? Seed's expensive. You be careful with it. It's a commodity. It's a resource. It's valuable. So you plant the seed where it's going to give you the best chance of yielding growth. Back then, before all of this technology we have, it was even more important that farmers be careful, because to save seed for next season's planting meant you're taking food out of your family's mouths or perhaps others' mouths who will pay you for it. So it's very valuable. But what does the sower do? Slings it everywhere. I think of those fertilizer. You put the, you know, all over the place, or you spread melting salt with it. I like to think, too, of maybe, one of those super blaster squirt guns. You know, the seed is going everywhere. There is no care because the seed is abundant. That's the aha factor of what the sower is doing. The sower is casting the word of God abundantly. And so that is a word for us, to understand the abundant love of God flung into our lives, so that, we are told in other parts of Scripture, our lives may be abundant and full. And then by the grace of God, may we enter into other people's lives, that God would use us to spread this abundant seed, that they too might live abundantly. Amen.